fraction. Okay.
Do I check the tail level, or do you don't need it?
No, I'm fine. No.
You're happening.
I'm happening, dude.
Those hammerjacks. Hammerjacks is going to be happening.
Yeah, yeah. I saw you last time you were down there. You changed the show.
Last time I played there?
Yeah, it was two and a half, 3 years ago.
This new band that I got is a lot heavier.
Who's all in it?
I got Sandy Slavin on drums from a group called Riot. He's a real powerhouse. And I replaced Todd Howarth with Richie Scarlett, who's a lot heavier than Todd. You know, his roots are the same roots as mine. You know, he was brought up on Led Zeppelin and The Who and Hendrix. You know, or he's from the East Coast, whereas Todd was brought up in San Diego. You know, Todd was originally, most people don't know it, but Todd was originally a keyboard player, turned guitar player. You follow me?
Yeah.
So that's where all the keyboards and stuff came in on the second signing album.
So what kind of...
That's why this new album is a lot heavier, because it's just guitars layered on top of guitars.
So you still do some Kiss material in the show?
Yeah, oh yeah. We should do the... The good ones, we're doing Deuce, we're doing Rocket Ride, Shock Me. I'm even doing Snowblind off my first solo album.
Right. Well,
Rip It Out.
You still do New York Groove and...
New York Jews. I almost said New York Jews. New York Groove, Cold Chin. You know, we're doing about half of the new album, you know, Shot Full of Rock, Trouble Walking, Do You, Lost in Limbo, Too Young to Die.
So, you covered the ELO song, did you talk...
Yeah, it's a single.
Did you talk to Jeff Lynne about that, or...?
No. You don't have to ask for permission once a song is released. Once an artist has released a song, then you don't have to ask permission to re-record it. I mean, that's basically that's the same thing that happened with Hide Your Heart. You know, Bonnie Tyler originally recorded that song about a year and a half ago. And my bass player, co-producer, John Regan, played on her album. And this spring, when we were in pre-production for the Trouble Walking album, John brought over her cassette and he played me the single, which was Hide Your Heart. And that was the first time I ever heard the song. I fell in love with it. You know, it sounded like a hit record to me, so we decided to record it. And only after we had recorded it did I find out that Kiss was doing it also.
So what was your relationship like with them? I mean, you don't talk to them much?
I talk to them from time to time. We're on good terms.
So why wouldn't you, you know, put the old reunion thing together?
Well,
it seems to be... And why wouldn't you do the reunion thing now? I mean, it seems so popular.
I didn't say I wouldn't do it. I might have said it a while ago, but I would definitely consider doing it at this point in time, in the near future, if it was presented to me properly.
Okay.
I'd have to have equal control in the production.
Well, was it ever that way?
It started out that way, I guess.
Well, I mean, did Paul sort of, it seems to me he's running the ship more so than Gene, or, you know, a lot more than the other fellows. But
what happened towards the end with Kiss, I just stopped caring. I just wasn't into it anymore, so I let Paul and Gene kind of, like, just do whatever the f*** they wanted to do.
A mistake?
Excuse me?
A mistake looking back on it?
Not really. I mean, it was basically just a way for me to get the f*** out of the band, which is what I wanted to do. Do my own thing, and I'm much happier.
Right.
But since that happened, a lot of water has gone under the bridge. You know, we've buried the hatchet. You know, now we're all friends. And, you know, we're talking about a Kiss reunion maybe for 1991, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, Bob, about Peter Criss, is he gonna...
I don't know about Peter. Peter right now is working in L.A. on with a new band trying to secure a record contract, so I wish him all the luck. You know, it was nice of him to come and help me out on a few songs for background vocals and percussion on this album.
Well, what has he been doing for the past, you know, however many years? I mean, he's the one guy that's...
A group called Great Balls of Fire, I know for a while, and then I know for the past year or two he's been working on a book that supposedly is soon to be published. And,
autobiography kind of thing?
I guess about as he is. I guess autobiography.
So, I mean, looking back on the whole Kiss thing, you know, I know people probably harp on that shit all the time, but, I mean, are you ever embarrassed by how out of hand the thing got, or, I mean, about how out of hand the thing got with, you know, bubblegum cards, and what are your feelings about this stuff now, people bring, you know, bubblegum cards and dolls? I saw...
Yeah, you know, it got so big with the merchandising, you know, we were kind of like, we were so busy. You know, if we weren't on the road, we were on the, we were in the studio. Or, you know, we're in a foreign country. So basically, you know, we let our management, you know, we gave them free rein to just kind of like run with it. And they got overboard. You know, I think they over-merchandised the band and cheapened us to an extent. You know, made us almost a bubblegum group to some people, you know. I think the real hardcore heavy metal people towards the end got turned off by all that merchandising, you know, because when they saw five-year-old kids going to school with Kiss lunchboxes and Kiss radios, you know, they just felt it was maybe over-commercialization.
Did you feel that at the time? I mean, were you angry?
What I was trying to tell you is that, you know, we were so busy, you know, with our career that, you know, I didn't even pay attention to it. I just kind of went along with it, you know.
In
retrospect, I would have probably said, you know, no, this is too much. Let's cut back on some of this merchandising. It's getting out of control.
Even though it was raking in dough?
We didn't need any more money at that time, believe me.
Well, I mean, those heavy years, 77, 78, 79, I mean,
we were millionaires after the Alive album.
And that money is not dried up whatsoever for any of you?
Well, I've definitely spent a lot of it. But there's still some floating around, believe me.
Well, I mean, is it the kind of thing where now you guys can just, you know, concentrate on, or you have been for 10 years, just putting out music and not worrying about how many, you know, how many units you've sold, or...
I don't worry about that shit, no. I don't have to do this for a living, put it that way. I'm making music because I enjoy it.
Okay, well... I think I'm out of questions. You got anything else you want to tell me about the new album or the tour here?
Well, the tour's doing great. Every show has been sold out, standing room only.
That's the beauty of playing small places. You always get...
Excuse me?
It's the beauty of playing a small place. You always get that vibe in the room.
Yeah. There's that intimacy. The new single's doing well. Looks like the second single's going to be Trouble Walking. So we're starting to discuss ideas for videos for that. We're going to be down there in Haberjacks on the 28th, I'm sure you're aware of. And I'm just excited. You know, are you familiar with the Troc Theater in Philadelphia?
The Trocadero, sure.
Yeah, we're playing there on the 4th of March. And,
What's your relationship with Skid Row and the whole, you know, doing the jam with them?
I forgot to touch on them. Yeah, they sang backgrounds on three tracks, Trouble Walking, Too Young to Die, and Back to School. They're real good friends of mine. You know, I hooked up with those guys when we co-hosted Headbangers Ball on MTV. I don't know if you saw it, but we did an acoustic version of Cold Gin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd like to have that on the tape.
It's a milestone in MTV history. And then they were playing that week. They were on the Bon Jovi tour at the time. They were playing at the Brendan Byrne Arena. So they invited me to jam with them. So I got up on stage and did Cold Gin and ended their set. And that was like an amazing thing. And then after the show, you know, I was hanging out with Sebastian, and he heard that I was going into the studio shortly to start my new album, and he offered his services as a background vocalist. So, you know, when it came time for background vocals, I gave him a call. And luckily, he was doing a concert about an hour away from the studio I was recording at. So he came by with Snake and Rachel, and, you know, we laid down some background vocals, and it was real helpful.
Just kind of accidental, almost, the...
Well, I think it was meant to be, you know, everything, for some reason, you know, we were lucky enough that our schedules coincided.
Right. Oh, it's, can we talk more about the Kiss reunion thing? I mean, how serious is the whole thing as far as...
I can't elaborate on it. All I can honestly tell you is, like when people would ask me a year ago, if they say, is there going to be a Kiss reunion, I would say, absolutely not, you know, and... It seems like within 1 year, the complexion has changed almost 100%. I mean, Paul and Gene are actually talking, seriously talking about it.
This is a makeup kind of thing too, or?
Yeah, the only way I would do it is with makeup and the old show and the huge production. I think that's the only way to do it.
So I think the only people would come to see it, you know?
Yeah, I think the whole, that would be the cool thing about it, would be to bring back the makeup, you know, just for one tour. And, you know, a lot of the kids today who never got a chance to see us in the 70s.
So when the whole thing broke up, I mean, was it like, I mean, I read there was some substance abuse problems. Is that a fact or is that not?
With me? Oh, yeah. I had some bad problems with drinking and substance abuse. The substance abuse basically stemmed from several car accidents. You know, doctors had put me on medication, which was habit forming. So, you know, between my drinking and my substance abuse, you know, I was kind of a mess for a while there.
So how did you finally wind up drying out?
Yeah, I dried out and, you know, I decided to, you know, start working out and get in shape. And probably today I'm healthier than I've been in 10 years.
Yeah, the last time I saw you, it was like you did like the second show on your tour here, and you really tuckered out after the show. I just remember how tired you were. How do you get that way?
I'm in better shape now than I was the last time I played Hammer Checks. I'm trimmer. I'm healthier. Yeah, I'm 6'2". I'm down to like 164 now.
That's thin. That's probably the way you were 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm not abusing any substances at this point in time. And I feel good.
That's good.
I'm real happy with the new album and the way it's been received, and I appreciate your support and all the fans. Just want to say thanks.
No problem, bud. I'll see you next Wednesday night.
Okay, next week.
That's the fun. I see you.
All right.
Bye-bye.